Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know it isn't by chance or circumstance that this message was laid in my heart this morning. It's for each and every one of us here today. And now, Lord, you do your work. I'm just your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. You're here today and you're a Christian. You're in a fierce war. You're in a life and death battle for your faith, whether you realize it or not, because Satan is determined to shipwreck and destroy the faith of all of God's people. And the stronger your faith, the greater will be his attack against you. It's the unshakable faith in the Lord that causes hell to rage. Nothing poses a greater threat to Satan's kingdom than a Christian who is unmovable in faith. Preacher, why is that? It's by faith that Satan's kingdom is subdued. It is by faith that righteousness is born and demonic fires are quenched and God's promises are obtained and the mouth of lions are shut. It's by faith that God's faithful can escape the edge of the sword and they can become brave in battle, turning the devil's army to flight. It's by faith that we can endure mockery and beatings and stonings. Even if you're locked in jail, you sing. Faith sustains all those who possess it. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy that in times of trial, some would cast aside their faith. Some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, 1 Timothy 1:19. He also added that Satan would attempt to overthrow the faith of some in 2 Timothy 2:18. Paul charged Timothy to fight a determined warfare, holding faith and a good conscience in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. The Apostle Peter, as you know, came under a ferocious attack against his faith. His trust in Jesus so enraged hell that Satan asked permission if he could sift him as the sand. Do you remember reading that? Satan wanted him to sift him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith would fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. That was the words of Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and 31. I believe that right now, many of you are facing a terrible storm. That's why the Lord laid this message on my heart. I can tell you that crawling in bed at 1 o'clock this morning and getting up at 6 o'clock was not a delight this morning. I was tired. Did I feel like studying and preparing for a message today? No, I did not. But I can tell you that God touched me. And he laid this message on my heart. Because some of you are facing the storm of your life. It seems like your troubles have seemed to only accelerate. Some of you may be experiencing money problems, marriage problems, job problems. It seems like the enemy's coming at you like pounding waves to try to sink your boat. Has your faith been sapped? Has your faith been tried? Do you say in your heart, God, don't you care? Have you ever said that? God, don't you care? Don't you see these things that's happening in my life? Don't you care? He cares more than you know. Lord, will you let me down in this storm? But I can tell you, it's for just such a time as this that Jesus spoke these awesome words. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Luke chapter 18, 7 through 8. And so I ask you this morning, will Jesus find faithfulness in your troubling hour? God has given us a very powerful weapon that we can use against Satan's attack. It's our faith. It is the testimony of a great cloud of witnesses already in glory. Do you know who that great cloud of witnesses is? Did you ever wonder? I'll tell you who I think they are. I think they're our loved ones. It's a great cloud of witnesses. It's our loved ones that have already gone on before us. Mom and Dad, Pappy and Grandma. They're looking on. They've passed on. They passed the faith test. Will you? Have you had a loving brother and sister? It's in heaven. They're part of that cloud of witnesses. They passed the faith test. Have you? They're already in glory. They made it through. And they made it through with their faith intact. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. It's a beautiful picture. I believe this verse depicts an army of victorious saints from every era. They're beholding us watchfully like a crowd in the bleachers. But they're wearing crowns of righteousness and they're waving palms as they cheer us on in our race. Run, run with patience. We fought to the death and didn't fall. God kept us and our faith prevailed. So you keep on. You too can overcome. I think about this, wearing crowns of righteousness and cheering us on. Talk about cheering. I sat alongside of a lady last night at the Penn State ladies volleyball. I mean, she just sat on the left side and there was like four empty seats between us. And every time them Penn State girls got a score, man, she was on her feet. Woo-hoo! I know that lady had to have a daughter in that game. And I can tell you that when she did that, I bet every one of those daughters wished that was my mom. Huh? They'd have been proud to have her as her mom. I was just thinking about that. If you'd have been her daughter, I bet you'd have been proud. That's my mom up there. Yep, she gets a little excited. A little excited. A little excited, did you say? Her husband just kind of sat there. It was funny. But I want to tell you, I wanted to tell her, you know, you're the best cheerleader we have here. You make them other cheerleaders look tiny. Look small. You're the best one they got here. Excited. She was excited. I want to give you three things, and we're going to go home. To have faith and to hold on to faith in these times of turbulence and the time of the storm of your life, I want you to be alert to three lies that the enemy brings against us. The first lie is that Satan misrepresents the Lord's refining process. Satan misrepresents the Lord's refining process. All the prophets foretold of God's people going into the refiner's fire. I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. I'm reading from Zechariah. In fact, if you want to turn there, I want to turn there because there's some other information there that's real good. Zechariah, the 13th chapter. Oh, the verse 8 in Zechariah, the 13th chapter. Verse 8 says, it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say it is my people and they shall say the Lord is my God. Whoo, glory. We see in every part of the scriptures, the Lord always has a remnant. He always saves a remnant. He doesn't destroy them all. Only a portion are destroyed, and he always keeps a remnant. And this third is the remnant that I'm talking about. When silver or gold is refined, it is refined by fire. All the dross comes to the surface. Is anybody familiar with that? Did you ever see any metal? How many? Anybody here see metal that's been heated? The dross, the dirty stuff, comes to the top. It comes to the surface. All the impurities, all the lesser metals, all the dirt, little spots, specks of waste, it all floats to the top. And it's much like it is when we sit here on a Sunday morning under God's word. And we let the God's word shine in our hearts. And as we do, all the impurities are brought to the surface. Unbelief is being separated from us by the Lord's refining fire. But it's during these times that God is purifying us. But Satan will bring his worst lie to accuse us at that time because he tries to place our focus on our impurities rather than on the Lord's unconditional love. Catch that? The devil tries to intimidate you and tell you, yes, you was bad. And anybody that's done anything like that should be ashamed. And he tries to beat you down because he wants to destroy you. That's what he's after. He wants to destroy you. He wants to make shipwreck of you. That's his desire. And if he can get you so depressed that you don't want to do anything, he has already stole your joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. So if you don't have any strength, how are you going to fight him? He knows that. He's had many years of practice. So God allows things to happen. But God is refining, and he does it because he loves you. But what the devil does is because he hates you. There's a big difference. And he wants to destroy you, but God has eternal life for you. And many, many rewards thereof to follow that you will enjoy for eternity. Because this life here is like that compared to eternity. I don't think we can comprehend what eternity is like. Number two, Satan tries to shipwreck our faith because he distorts the chastenings of the Lord. He distorts it. He always changes and twists things around. He always twists the truth. There's always certain elements of truth in what the devil does, and he distorts the truth. He'll try to convince you that your chastening is from God's displeasure of you. God's just mad at you. He's angry with you. You know that they tried to tell Job that. His friends came to try to tell him that. You know, Job, there's got to be sin in your life. That's why you're going through this stuff. Because if you read in Job, they say the innocent don't have these problems. In other words, Job, you're not innocent. You're far from innocent. You have a lot of problems, and you better start repenting, because that's what you're going through this stuff for. That's what they tried to convince him of. Read it. It's there. They tried to convince him of these problems. In fact, I put a marker there. And Job, I want to go back there and read just a little bit of what his friend said, had to say. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, whoever perished, being innocent. Or were the righteous cut off? Even as I've seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Don't you know that what you sow, you reap? Oh, thank you. So in other words, I'm reaping all this because I sowed some terrible things. Well, obviously. I didn't hear the Lord tell me that, but you're telling me that. I didn't hear the Lord say anything about that. What the Lord says is, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what the Lord says. Come to me. I love you. I'll forgive you. Read it. It's there. Come to me. I'll heal your backslidings. Just come to me. Ask me. I'll heal you. Jesus spoke of chastisement when he declared to the Apostle John, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, Revelation 3:19. Right now, what you're going through is no accident. It is no isolated trial or calamity. Every test and trial is under the Father's careful scrutiny. And I can tell you there's a purpose in it, in all of it. For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Thirdly, Satan will lie to you when chastening includes suffering and continues with seemingly no answer. Your trial may involve physical suffering, maybe unemployment. Here's one that hits some of us. Children who rebel. Faithless friends. Mental distress. Turmoil. Or pain. Day after day as you endure, Satan will whisper to you as he did to Job, the righteous don't suffer. If God's promises are true, you should have been rescued by now. Where is your God? Is this what faith gets you? Ooh. Have you ever said, why don't anything ever happen to them? They don't live for you. They're wicked people. They're not on church on Sunday. They don't pray and read their Bible. Why doesn't anything ever happen to them? That's not your business. I believe they call that putting your nose where it's not in your business. Have I ever been guilty of saying that? I have been. And I have to tell you, Lord, I'm sorry. That's his business. That's his business. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine. And I will repay. I will repay. You can count on that. I will repay. I am the judge. You're not. Oh, but we want to be sometimes. Oh, but God says, I'm the judge. I am. You just worry about yourself. Keep your own porch clean before you want to clean somebody else's. Do not cast your faith aside. Satan, as we know, is a liar. You are suffering because God loves you, because he cares. He knows you're suffering. He will not let you be destroyed by it because he knows exactly how much suffering he will allow, and he will make an escape for you. Did you hear me? He knows how much you're able to bear in 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's where it says it. And through all of what's happening in your life in this storm, the cloud of witnesses are standing in the bleachers urging you, continue fighting this battle of faith. Your hands hang down, but he will provide the faith to lift them up. Lifting up hands. Now, there's interesting. When I saw that, I thought, well, what does that have to do with lifting the hands? So I did a little research this morning. It didn't take long. I knew there was a spot that talked about that. In Exodus chapter 17, we find that the people were thirsty, and they were arguing and saying to Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us? We're thirsty. We need something to drink. Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They almost be ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with thee the elders and thy rod, wherewith you smote the river, and take it in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the name of the place Massah Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Woo! That's a long time to hold your hands up. But that's what I just read that. Now let me ask you this. If someone told you that your son or your daughter will do just fine as long as you keep your hand up, but as soon as you put your hand down, it won't go so good for them. How long would you put your hand up? Now, do you believe that's the Bible and that's just what the Bible said? That I just read it to you. As long as the hand was raised, and it didn't just, I thought it was just the hand that had the rod in, see. I thought that was the only one that had to be raised. Well, if that was the case, Aaron could have held that one up. But the Bible says Hur, H-U-R, held the other one up. That one didn't have no rod in it. What'd be the sense in that? Hello. He didn't have two rods. He only had one. But he had both hands up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's some significance here. And I don't think we're getting all of it. And we're not comprehending all of it. I think there's more to this raising of hands than what anybody, and myself included, can get out of this. So I'm going to ask you again. How many of you would do everything you could to keep both hands raised as long as you knew your children would prevail? Everybody in here, put your hands up. Oh, both of them. You got both hands? That's how I feel. I want my children to live for the Lord. Hello. Woo. I saw something there this morning I never saw before. In the Bible, when it says fasting and praying, I'm going to fast and pray. And when you're in your secret closet and you're before the Lord, I thought of something this morning. I thought, woo, glory. I got two kids and I got two hands. Lord, be with them. Let them prevail in this life. And when you call me home, let them continue to prevail. Let them continue to live for you. I raised them both in church and Sunday school. I raised them to love and to serve you. Lord, I give them to you. Let them live for you. Woo, glory. Wow. There's more to raising hands than what we hear or see. I saw something that was precious. There's so many people that fall for the devil's lies when they're chastened. They allow a root of bitterness to enter their heart, and soon they're nurturing an anger toward God. Why? Why, Lord, did you allow this? I tried so hard to please you. Why are you letting me down? God has warned us about these times. And don't let it happen. Be diligent. Be careful. Holding on to your confidence, because it has a great recompense of reward. The Lord desires a people who will hold on to faith even when they suffer the loss of all things. This is a description of people who have been greatly afflicted. They lost all their goods and their possessions because of their testimony. But their faith is kept, and it's kept them joyful. I believe and wonder sometimes if the days of American lifestyle are numbered. Do you know what I'm talking about? We've enjoyed wonderful things in America. I love America, and we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Are they numbered? If that day comes, I can tell you that all of us here will be affected. All of us will feel the pain. But I can tell you that such a day will reveal much about us. It's always easy to talk about faith when everything's going good. It's quite different when we must feel the pain. And when we're called to take the spoiling of our goods joyfully. Paul kept the faith through good times and bad. In his final days, the apostle could boast, I've fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I have what? Kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. He could say, Satan sent messengers to fight me in Jerusalem and in Damascus and Asia and Ephesus and Antioch and Corinth, but I kept the what? Faith. He tried to sink me in the storm in the Mediterranean. 3 times I was shipwrecked, bobbing in the deep night and day, but I kept the faith. 4 times the Jews beat me with 39 stripes. I was cast into prison 3 times, beaten with rods and stoned and left for dead, but I kept the I faced peril in the country, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea. I was robbed by my own countrymen. I've been placed in peril by false brethren. But I kept the... I've been so weary at times and full of bodily pains, enduring sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, cold and naked, heavily laden with cares of all kinds. Yet I kept the... I've been troubled and perplexed on every side, distressed, persecuted, never cast down. I've never been shaken in my faith. Through it all, my trust in the Lord has never been destroyed. Woo, glory. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. Psalms 112, verses 4, 6 through 10. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going in and thy coming out, and from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, 7 and 8. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalms 27, 5. The Lord says to all his children, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. May you all remain faithful to call on him in your trial. Cast all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. Scotty, come and sing. While he does, the altar is open. Would you come today? Hallelujah.